This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, this is Riyad Razazi saying السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I hope all of you are doing great. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, to bless you in this blessed day of Friday. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you all the highest level of Jannah insha'Allah ta'ala. How's everybody doing? How are you guys doing? Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, how's everyone? I hope you're doing great, because today is a special day. Today is a special day. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the virtues of Madinatun Nabi. Madinatun Nabi. Madinatun Nabi. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about the virtues, the specialties about this beautiful town called Al-Madina. Madina, 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 Madina. Alrighty, so you're doing great. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. We've got people from pretty much everywhere. How about those on Facebook? You guys doing okay? Doing all right? Yeah. All right, so brothers and sisters, we in last week we were talking about the migration from Mecca to Medina, the hardship, the travels that the Prophet Muhammad had to go through, alayhi salatu wassalam, until he reached he made the decision to migrate from Mecca to Medina. En route, he stopped at that cave called Ghar Thur, where he hid there with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ardah. There was this guide that the Prophet Muhammad hired. The Prophet took all the precautions. You know, he hired a guide. He had Abu Bakr with him. He had a man by the name of Ibn Fuhayra, who is the shepherd to cover the tracks of the camels. So he took all the means, yet he put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wakil, the Lord of the means. As I mentioned last week, brothers and sisters, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, to migrate from Mecca to Medina, it took him 14 days. He left on Monday and he reached Quba, you know, the outskirts of Medina, on a Monday, alayhi salatu wasalam. As I mentioned also, that people did not know how he looked like. The majority of the people, they did not know how the Prophet Muhammad looked like. It's only those that, you know, that came to give him the bay'ah. Those are the only ones who knew how the Prophet looked like, but the majority, they did not know. So until Abu Bakr put his aba'ah, and then he covered the Prophet Muhammad against the heat, you know, and then that's how they knew that there was the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam, when he reached Quba, and camped with, you know, in a tribe called Amr ibn Auf, Mondays and Tuesdays, then Salim ibn Auf as well, another tribe, all in the outskirts of Medina. He spent there, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, and then on Jum'ah, he prayed Salat al-Jum'ah. Salat al-Jum'ah, the very first Jum'ah in history, subhanAllah. The Prophet prayed, you know, in the not too far from Masjid Quba, again, in the tribe of Banu Salim. And after he prayed Jum'ah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered Medina. Brothers and sisters, Anas radiallahu anhu, listen to this beauty. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, Anas, he's a sahabi companion, he says, دخل علينا رسول الله المدينة صلى الله عليه وسلم فأنار منها كل شيء. He says the Prophet Muhammad, when he entered Medina, he illuminated it, يعني with his nur. Medina used to be gray, a lot of diseases were, you know, it was not called Medina at the time, it was called Yathrib, right? It was a very sad town, filled with diseases, very gray, very unhappy town, but when the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام entered it, he says أنار منها كل شيء. It enlightened with the nur of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says Anas as well. He says إذا خيرت في أيام الدنيا, if I were to choose in all the days of the world, you know, the days I have lived, if I were to choose one day, let me ask you this question, brothers and sisters, those of you out there in Facebook and those of you on Instagram, if you were to choose one day in your life, what would that day be? Let me hear from you. Yalla, tell me, you guys. If you were to choose one day, you've lived, mashallah, you know, whatever, however you are, how old you are, you know, those of you who are, you know, 20, 18, 30, 40, 50, whatever your age is, if you were to choose one day from your life, which one would you choose? Can you guys share that with me? Yalla, I'll share one with you myself. I'll share one with you. So tell me. Yalla, come on. I'm waiting, Shabab. When you made Hajj. Yasmin, you will choose when you made Hajj. Mu'nisa, don't know. So you have, all your days were miserable, Mu'nisa? All your days were miserable, like you not choose one day, all of them are miserable, or all of them are so good that you can't even, you know, that you can't pick one. Is that what it is? So it's either or. Either all your days were miserable, they're all the same, or all your days are just amazing. You don't know which one to choose. If you were to choose one day, which one would that be? Somebody said, when I went for Hajj. Okay, cool. What else? Come on, only two people answered. I don't know, for some reason, I cannot read those on Facebook. I have no idea why I cannot read them. I don't know. The day Allah took back my child. Nestabit. Okay, the day you reunited with dad. Nasir, the day Allah took back my child. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant your child Jannat al-Firdaus and make you met your child in Jannat, insha'Allah ta'ala. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Well, Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, if I were to choose min ayyam al-dunya, from the days of the world, the days I have lived, he says, I will choose 2 days. He says, I will choose the day of Badr and the day when the Prophet entered Medina. I witnessed both days. I witnessed the day of Badr, the battle of Badr, and I witnessed the day when the Prophet Muhammad entered Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. So, the Prophet Muhammad entered Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was on his camel, and we spoke a little bit about that camel, you know, when she went around, you know, going around looking for some, I don't know what she was looking for, maybe a scavenging trip, waiting for that place where the Prophet ﷺ will build the masjid, alayhi salatu wasalam. So she went and she stopped at some point, and then, you know, and in one spot, and then she went around again, going around as if, I don't know what she was looking for, nobody knew, and then she came back again, and then she kneeled down on that same spot, and that's where the Prophet Muhammad ordered to build the masjid, al-masjid al-nabawi. And that place, you know, is where the camel kneeled down, is where the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad is today. Which is, you know, in those of you who've been to Medina, in the Rawda, you know, the Rawda, which is that garden, which is the, you know, between the, you know, the masjid and the grave of the Prophet, is called the Rawda. So where the minbar is, the original minbar, you know, that's where the camel kneeled down, and that's where the Prophet Muhammad ordered the building of the masjid, alayhi salatu wasalam. He stayed, you know, in that masjid. We'll talk more about the masjid, how long it took, you know, for them to build and whatnot. 10 years, giving khutbah in Medina, because 13 years in Mecca and 10 years in Medina. and he used to recline on a tree when he used to give, you know, khutbah. And then the people of Medina, you know, they, you know, some women actually who were in the back, they could not see the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. So at some point, these, you know, they requested if they could, you know, if they could see him, because there was, you know, the masjid was flat and there was no minbar at the time. So they, and he used to recline on a tree, you know, when he used to give khutbah. And then the Prophet Muhammad, the Sahaba, the people from Medina, they suggested if they could build something like some minbar, you know, with steps, so that Prophet could stand on those steps, people in the back can see him. And then they had to trim, you know, that tree. They had to cut it off, actually. The Sahaba, they said, sisters and brothers, listen to this miracle that happened at that time. They said, we heard a crying of a baby. We heard a crying of a baby in the masjid. We looked around and there was nobody crying. There was no baby in the masjid. And then we heard like crying, like with noise, not just like crying with noise, like somebody's really hurt. Who was crying? It was the tree. The tree, when it was to be trimmed, to be cut off, right? So that they could build that minbar, they had to remove it. It was crying, and then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he went before the Sahaba. They were all looking, and he grabbed the tree and hugged the tree. He hugged the tree, and the tree stopped crying. Hadith is in Bukhari Muslim. It's in the Seerah. I heard some people go and hug trees. Have you ever hugged a tree before? Anyone? Prophet Muhammad hugged the tree, and the tree stopped crying. Has anyone hugged a tree before? Do you know there's so much energy that you can derive from a tree, subhanAllah? There's a lot of this, you know, taqa, you know, this energy. You know, the tree is hooked to the ground. It's hooked to the ground. So you can kind of sit, especially a tree that's in the forest, right? And then you can, you know, you know, you can build, subhanAllah, you can feel there's something, you know, for coming up from that tree, especially with the beautiful, you know, the smell, the air, which is fresh, you know. I don't know, I mean, it may sound weird, you know, hugging a tree. But it's just like, if you want to just, you know, come back to earth, as they say, you know, come back to earth. So you just like your feet are on the ground, you're hugging that tree. So the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, he hugged the tree, and the tree stopped crying. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, when he used to go for khutbah in Medina, you know, in the masjid, he would go from one route and he would come back from another, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet Muhammad, when somebody used to get sick in Medina, he used to take his thumb. He used to take his thumb, and then he would put it in his like mouth, like this, and put his thumb into the ground, you know, like the earth of Medina, into the earth of Medina, and then he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, Bismillah, tulbatu ardina biriqati ba'dina yushfa safi yushfa mariduna bi'idni rabbina. Tulbatu arduna. Bismillah, tulbatu ardina biriqati ba'dina yushfa mariduna bi'idni rabbina. So he used to put his thumb again in his mouth, suck it, and then put it on the ground, you know, the earth of Medina, and then he would say, Bismillah, this is the tulba, the soil of our town, of our Medina. Biriqati ba'dina, with the saliva of one another, yushfa mariduna, our sick shall be recovered with the order of Allah, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama said this is particularly with the, you know, with this dua, particularly with the, you know, it's applicable to the Medina. You know, can you do it with any other soil? It is, you know, it is actually the soil of Medina. You know, this is the characteristics of that soil, you know, of Medina. By the way, Dajjal will not enter Medina. Al-Ta'un, no plague can enter Medina. You know, we talked about Dajjal in the other, you know, series, the series of the end of time. Dajjal will not enter Mecca and Medina. طاعون plague will not enter Mecca, Medina. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, من استطاع منكم أن يموت, whoever, you know, can die in Medina, let him die in Medina, for I witness, you know, in one narration, I intercede on whoever dies in Medina. That does not mean like, you know, everybody would want to go and live in Medina. So if you want to die in Medina, you have to live in Medina. If you want to die in Medina, you have to live in Medina. But can you live in Medina? You know, I mean, you know, there's, I'm not talking about all the restrictions and whatnot. But this is just, again, about the virtues of Medina. He says, if you can, من استطاع منكم أن يموت في المدينة, whoever, you know, can die in Medina, let him do so. For I witness, or in one narration, I intercede on whoever dies in it. And by the way, regardless of where you're from, those of you who've been to Mecca or Medina, right? You know, for Hajj or Umrah, anybody who dies in Mecca or Medina, regardless of their background, regardless of where they're from, especially those who die in Medina to Nabi, right? Regardless of where they're from, they will be buried in Al-Baqi'. Al-Baqi' is the graveyard of Medina. You know, the Sahaba buried there. I mean, not all of them, of course, but those who lived in, you know, in Medina. The wives of the Prophet, the majority are, I know, are buried in Medina, except Khadija. Khadija, she's buried in Mecca. But you know, the other wives of the Prophet Muhammad buried in Medina. The aunties of the Prophet Muhammad are buried in Medina. So in Al-Baqi'. So again, this characteristic, you know, that Allah, this blessing of that land, the land of Al-Madina. من استطاع منكم أن يموت, whoever can die in Medina, let him die in Medina. As soon as you enter Medina, brothers and sisters, you feel peace. You feel serenity. It's just this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that serenity in that town, the town of Medina, subhanallah. What else can we talk about Medina? What else? There's so much that we could say about Medina to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. By the way, when you pray in Medina, each salah that you get in Medina, the reward of it is 1,000 salah. In Mecca is 100,000. In Medina is 1,000. So the reward of praying in Medina, one salah, you will get 1,000 hasanat. If you were to pray in Mecca, you will get 100,000. So this is again another blessing of Medina to an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Medina to an-Nabi. So when the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, he, you know, entered it, like, I mean, I'm going to talk more about the building of the masjid and talking more about the house of the Prophet Muhammad today so that we can describe the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qibla used to be towards the south. The Qibla used to be towards the north, which is Jerusalem, which is towards Palestine. So they used to pray for 2 years. 2 years, the Sahaba along with the Prophet Muhammad, they used to pray facing the north, facing Jerusalem, until the second year of the Hijrah. 2 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad, why? Prophet Muhammad used to go out in the morning every day, out, and then stand waiting for a revelation, waiting for some sort of wahi to come down for Allah to tell him, okay, we're going to switch the Qibla. Where? To Mecca. One day, Prophet Muhammad was praying. Where? He was praying in a house of one Sahabiyya near Masjid Quba, not too far from Masjid Quba. He was praying, Asad, with the Sahaba. And then as he was praying the Salah, you know, Asad, it's been narrated, Asad, he prayed to Raka facing Jerusalem. And then in the middle of the Salah, the Prophet switched and turned towards Mecca. And he turns the other way. So whoever was praying with him, they turned too. And then after the Salah, they asked Rasulullah, what happened? He says, Jibreel revealed to me in the Salah, while he was praying, that the Qibla has been changed from north to south. And that was what, you know, the Prophet wanted, alayhi salam. He longed to face the Qibla, to face Mecca versus facing Jerusalem. He wanted to face Mecca. So that happened. Today there is a masjid there called Dhul Qiblatain, the two Qibla mosque. The two Qibla mosque, it means that this is the place where the revelation came down to the Prophet ﷺ to change the Qibla from facing, you know, north, Jerusalem, to facing Mecca. Prophet Muhammad wanted that. Allah Azza wa Jal comforted him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Al-Jabbar, because Prophet Muhammad's heart was, you know, was broken. He had to leave Medina, Mecca, he had to leave everything, you know, but he missed Medina, Mecca. On the way out from Mecca, he looked back and he says, Wallahi, you are the most beloved town to me. Hadn't your people kicked me out, I wouldn't have left. Hadn't your people kicked me out of Mecca, I wouldn't have left. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he used to love Mecca, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is when he went to Medina, he used to pray, you know, facing Jerusalem, yet his heart was, you know, connected with Mecca. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted him, suited him. He wanted his heart, he wanted to face Mecca. Tayyib, the Qibla got changed. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when they were building the masjid, just so you know, when they were building the masjid, where did he stay? Some people said that, you know, the masjid took a month to build. Some people said, some historians, according to different narrations, it took 2 months to build. Some said it took 1 year to build. There are different narrations, you know, as to how long it took for the Masjid Nabawi to be built. At any rate, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, in that interim, while they were building the masjid, he had to stay somewhere. He had no place to go. He had to stay somewhere, alayhi salatu wasalam. So where did he stay, brothers and sisters? He stayed, people, they came to him. You stay with us, ya Rasulullah. Another person came to him. You stay with me, ya Rasulullah. Another person came to him. You stay with me, ya Rasulullah. Everybody wanted the Prophet to stay with them. It's an honor. It's an honor for Prophet Muhammad to stay with you in your home, isn't it? Right? But came a man by the name of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, and he did something really smart and really beautiful. He took the saddle of the Prophet Muhammad. The saddle is that thing that they put on top of the camel, you know, or a horse that where you sit on. So he took that saddle and then he took it home, to his home. He didn't even talk. He just took it to his home. Prophet Muhammad looked back and he says, you know, and then he says, a man shall follow his saddle. A man shall follow his saddle. So he went to the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. And he stayed in his house. That house still exists until today. I mean, the place, that house, no, not the full house, but the place where that house is, it still, you know, still exists today. In Medina, of course. That's where the Prophet Muhammad stayed until they finished building in the Masjid. There was, you know, a few stories that happened in that house. Like, you know, they had two levels. So Prophet Muhammad was, you know, they said, no, ya Rasulullah, you stay. We don't want to be on top of you. You go on the top, you know. And so Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, he went to the top, but people used to come to visit him all the time. So he would come down, up and down. So he was really bothered. And then he asked if he could, he'd rather stay on, you know, in the main floor so that people, when they was to come to visit him, he wouldn't have to, you know, be going up and down. And then the Prophet ﷺ went back down, you know, and stayed with them. The hospitality that family has shown to the Prophet Muhammad is like no other. You know, the wife of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, you know, one day when they were on top of Rasulullah, and then they spilled some water, and then they spent the whole night wiping, you know, and trying to mop the floor. Why? Because they don't want any water to drop on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. By the way, does anybody know the name of the wife of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari? Anybody knows the name of the wife of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari? We just know about the guy, we don't know about the woman. And she did so many things, that woman, amazing woman. Do you guys know her name? Does anybody know her name? The name of the wife of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari? Okay, you don't know? Does anyone? Right, don't go to Google. Just you tell me here. You know, you just tell me here if you know it. Either yes or no. You want me to tell you her name? All right, let me do it this way. Do you want me to tell you her name? Shall I tell you her name, brothers and sisters? The name of the wife of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, shall I tell you her name? Shall I tell you her name, Nawal? Nawal, Riyad, Yasmin, shall I tell you her name? Yes? Yes? All right, her name is Mrs. Ansari. Write down. Mrs. Ansari. I don't know her name either. There's no history, you know, about her name. Ummu Ayyub. Ummu Ayyub. I don't know. Mrs. Ansari. Let's just say Mrs. Ansari. Mrs. Ansari. Anyways, the land, by the way, it used to belong to a couple orphans, and we talked about that last week. And the Prophet Muhammad had to buy, you know, that land, 10 dinars of gold. 10 dinars of gold. That's how much the land costed, you know, when the Prophet Muhammad bought it to build the masjid. You know, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu warda, he paid that money. The house, just so you know, brothers and sisters, let me tell you quickly about the masjid of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, just so you know, right? The length of it, 35 meters. And the width, 60. 35, in fact, 35 by 30 initially. It was 35 by 30. The masjid that we see today that fit, you know, over a million people today, initially was only 35 by 30, right? And it had three doors, one from the south, one from the west, and one from the east. And of course, the door from the north was closed. Brothers and sisters, why the door from the north was closed? See if you're following. I just want to see if you guys are following with me here. When the masjid was built, it had three main doors, one from the east, one from the west, and one from the south. Why there was no door from the north? Why was there no door from the north? Guys, girls, boys, sisters and brothers, anyone? Anyone? Qibla, mashallah alik Nawal. Mashallah Nawal, my girl. Nawal, my girl. Yes, ma'am. The Qibla, of course. Because of the first Qibla, exactly. So you cannot put a door by the Qibla. You know, no people can enter, exactly. Zakallah khair. So you go back from, you know, from the other doors. Then what happened? So when they made that door, right, and when they blocked it, of course, for the Qibla, and then in the back, what happened? In the back, they had a, you know, few rows, and then in the back they had, you know, a section for people called Ahl al-Suffa. Who are Ahl al-Suffa? Ahl al-Suffa are those who, you know, the poor people, those who get stranded, you know, those who have no place. They would come and reside in the masjid. And who, a very well-known Sahabi, who was amongst those Ahl al-Suffa, who used to reside in the masjid. He narrated so many ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad, and that's why he was from the people of al-Suffa. You know, that's why he narrated so many ahadith, because he used to live there, right? In the back. It's called Ahl al-Suffa. Who was that man? I'm sure a lot of you would know him. He was considered to be from Ahl al-Suffa. So you have the front, which are the masjid, you know, the people who used to pray, you know, there were like three rows. And then in the back, you know, there's a section for the people of al-Suffa. They would just, you know, reside there, sleep there, the poor people, the stranded people. Amongst them was a very important, you know, very well-known Sahabi. Very, 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 you know, mashallah, well-known Sahabi who narrated, not Bukhari, is not Sahabi. Yashmin, Bukhari is not Sahabi. Yashmin. Bukhari is not a companion. I said a companion. I said a Sahabi. He used to reside there. What's his name? What's his name? Guys, girls, boys, sisters. He was from Ahl al-Suffa. I'm sure you know him. I'm sure you know him. The one who narrated many ahadith. Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira. He was from Ahl al-Suffa. Right? And then, you know, 2 years later, you know, they built the house of Aisha. Because Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, his house was in the masjid, you know, just connected to the masjid. His house was connected to the masjid, so they built all the houses of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad by the, you know, on the back of the masjid. So they built the house of Aisha. Why 2 years later? Why 2 years later, brothers and sisters? Who can tell me why 2 years later they built the Aisha's house in the back of the masjid? Who can tell me why? I know I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to tell. Normally I have candies and chocolates. Those of you who know me, they know how I work, right? I have little candies and chocolates and stuff, but I have nothing to give you now because look at us, you know, we're just online. So why do you think that they had to wait 2 years to build the house of Aisha? Where was Aisha living then before? Because the Prophet used to stay there the most. Okay, Sonia, because they would be buried there and can't be in front of the masjid. Mu'nisa, no, that's when she came to live with the Prophet. No. Okay, who else? All right, what do you want to say? Who else? I mean, yeah, you guys are okay, close, but not too close. Because Aisha, she wasn't married to the Prophet. Aisha, she wasn't the wife of the Prophet. She married him, you know, before the Battle of Badr. That's when she married the Prophet Muhammad. So that's in the second year of the Hijrah. That's when Aisha married the Prophet Muhammad. So they had to build her a house. The house of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And then the house of Sauda as well. And then the other houses of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad. There is one wife. Hey. There is one wife who was not there. All the wives of the Prophet Muhammad, they were there with him, you know, in the masjid, just behind, right? They were all there, one next to the other. So the Prophet would go and visit them all. They were all there next to each other. They were neighbors, and they did not fight. They were neighbors. Yeah, we'll talk about sometimes they had these little things happening here and there. You know, Safiya and Aisha will team up against this and that, right? Yeah. But there was one wife. No. This is after Khadija, ya Mu'nisa. This is Khadija. She's died. She's in Mecca. I'm talking about one wife of the Prophet Muhammad who was still alive, but she did not live with the Sahabiyat. She did not live with the other wives. No, Hafsa, she was also there. Hafsa, she had her house as well. There's one wife. No. Hafsa. No, Sonia. No, not Sonia. Not Hafsa. Hafsa was there as well. They were all there. Hafsa, the daughter of Umar. They were there. She had her house next to the others. There was one wife who was not there, near the masjid. She was a little bit in the outskirts of Medina. Would you like me to tell you who, brothers and sisters? Oh, this will be an amazing cliffhanger. Would you like me to tell you whose wife was not there? She was buried somewhere else. I mean, she was living somewhere else, and the Prophet used to go to her every week. Used to go to her, alayhi salatu wasalam. No. Hafsa, she was there. I'm talking about, Safiya. You're talking about Safiya. Not Safiya. Not Safiya. Safiya, she was also there. All right. If you want me to tell you, you got to tell me Maria. Nazdabat. She's good. And Riyad Ibtisam, Maria. Do you know why Maria, she was not, you know, she wasn't living there? Maria, and brothers, those of you who are getting married, or are married, understand this. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salat was salam, he was very, subhanAllah, understanding of the background of any person, you know, people that he would deal with. He would know about their background and he will feel for them, alayhi salam. Maria, she came from Egypt. And she came from where the Nile is, the water, the green, you know. The other ones were Qurayshiyat. The other ones were, you know, they used to live in the desert. They live in the desert. They're used to the desert. They're used to the mountains. But Maria, she's not used to the roughness of the desert. She's not used to the roughness of the sand and the rocks and whatnot. So Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he had her a house in the outskirts where the palm trees are, where the water was. And he used to go to her, and she used to prepare nice things for him, and she used to sit with him, and she used to give him honey, you know, honey. She used to give him honey. And not only that, she used to give so much so that there was a time where Safiya and Aisha, Hafsa and Aisha, they teamed up, and then the Prophet Muhammad used to eat that honey, and then would go, and then they said, you know, how come you smell? You know, the Prophet, you smell, something's coming from your mouth, it smell. Says, what did I, so I didn't eat, you know, because he used to go to her and she used to give him honey, that Allah subhanahu, and then the Prophet says, I would never eat that honey again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the video, ya nabiyu, lima tuharrimu ma halallahu lak, oh, you Prophet, why do you make something halal haram? You know, so, and he used to love to listen to Maria, Prophet Muhammad. Why? Why, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad used to love to listen to Maria. When she's there, he used to talk to her and stuff. I mean, she used to talk to him. And Maria, subhanAllah, Egyptians. Egyptians from Egypt. Or Egypt, right? She used to tell him stories. Sisters, do you tell your husband stories? Does your husband tell you stories? Do you tell stories to each other? Anyways, so, and then the masjid kept, you know, growing because there were more people embracing Islam. In the seventh year of the Hijrah, they renovated the masjid and they, you know, expanded it, you know, to 50 meters, you know, 50 meters from the length, and then 45 meters high, you know, in the time of, you know, this was done in the era of Uthman, well, after Khaybar, the masjid got expanded. And then in the era of Uthman, they expanded it some more, because again, more and more people were embracing Islam. In the ninth year of the Hijrah, this is where they introduced a Sahabi by the name of Tamim al-Dari. Brothers and sisters, there was no light. You know, it's not like our message today, they have, you know, these lights and whatnot. There was no light at the time. It was just like these lanterns, you know, and it was the first person who introduced, you know, the lighting, the lanterns, you know, concept, was this man by the name of Tamim al-Dari, radiallahu anhu arda. So the masjid was dark. Then the Prophet, you know, this man introduced this concept of lanterns, and then they started, you know, using them to enlighten the masjid. In the era of Umar, then there was another expansion of, you know, 70 meters long and then 54 meters wide. And then they put a saqf, you know, they put a ceiling on top. And then there was another bab from, you know, al-Gharb, bab from the west, which is until today. The Bab, you know, of the West, Bab al-Salam, Allahu Akbar, Bab al-Salam from the West. Brothers and sisters, those of you who, you know, who've been to Medina, and inshallah, if you were to go to Medina, this is the door that the brothers used to go to the Rawda. This is the gate that the brothers used to, if they want to go and say salam to the Prophet Muhammad, they will enter from Bab al-Salam. You know, this Bab al-Salam was actually, you know, opened at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And then Bab Jibreel from the east, and Bab al-Salam from the west. In the era of Uthman ibn Affan, it got expanded to 80 meters. And then, you know, and then the walls got, you know, they were, it's not like paint, but plastered. They, you know, plastered the walls, because it was all, you know, rocks. But then in the era of Uthman, they changed, you know, the walls with, you know, from like stones into like this plastering, you know, white. And then the masjid kept on growing and growing and growing. And brothers and sisters, at the time of the time of the Prophet Muhammad, there were these what we call in Arabic ustuwanat. Ustuwanat meaning these pillars. Until today, these pillars exist in the masjid, right? In these pillars are the foundation of that masjid. What will keep, you know, the roof of that masjid. There's one istwana, one pillar called the pillar of Al-Wufud. Until today, it exists. The people of Al-Wufud, meaning the people of delegations. when the delegations used to come to meet the Prophet, he would meet them by that, you know, it's like a meeting point, by that pillar, you know. It was just like those trunk trees, they to keep the foundation of the masjid. There was an ostwana called Al-Haras. Al-Haras means the guards, you know, and that Al-Haras, who is to guard the Prophet Muhammad, Ali radiallahu anhu, you know, Az-Zubayr, they used to guard the Prophet, so they used to stand by that post to guard Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, and Allah will protect you from people. So he told them, I no longer need, you know, anyone to guard me, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me. There's a stwana, there's a post called As-Sarir. As-Sarir, you know, the bedding, the bed. Why? Because the Prophet used to, you know, in Ramadan, he used to sleep by that post. So they called it As-Sarir, the bed. There is a post called At-Tahajjud. The Prophet used to make Tahajjud by, so each post had some significance to it. There is a post called At-Tawbah. Ustun At-Tawbah. Tawbah is a long story. You know, there was this Sahabi who revealed the secret of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. So he went, and then Abu Lubaba, and then he went, and then he stood by, you know, sat by that tree, and he, you know, tied himself around that tree until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that Allah azza wa jalla has made, you know, has forgiven him. So it's called the pillar of Tawbah. And there is the very well-known pillar. The very well-known pillar, brothers and sisters, is called the pillar of Aisha. Why is it important? Why is it significant? This pillar of, it exists today. If you were with me, I would have shown you this. I would have, because there's some videos when I went to Mecca and when I went to Medina, I posted some videos live from the masjid. You know, maybe you can find them on YouTube, you know, on Facebook. You can find these videos of mine, you know, especially the one where I talk about, you know, the masjid and Nabawi when I was inside. This pillar is called Pillar of Aisha. Why? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in this masjid, there is a pillar. Near that pillar, if you were to pray there, Allah azza wa jalla will forgive your sins. And he didn't tell where that pillar or where that place was. He didn't say. But Aisha, she kept on asking. She kept on asking. And the Prophet Muhammad told her, right there. You know, he said, right there. You know, where that one, you know, pillar is. And that pillar is called the Pillar of Aisha. This is why people who know that, you know, that pillar, you know, today, a lot of people, they, subhanAllah, they like fight to pray next to it, you know. But again, these are the people who know where that pillar is. But at any rate, these are the pillars that are, you know, that are in the masjid, the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And then, brothers and sisters, the qubba that you see today, you know, the green dome that you see today, that green dome, you know, there's Sultan Qaytubai. Sultan Qaytubai from Al-Mamalik, he is the one who built that, you know, that dome. And it was not green initially, you know, it wasn't green, it was like silver. Just signify that underneath is where the grave of the Prophet Muhammad is. That's as simple as that. There is no significance to it. You see a lot of people, you know, where Medina, they go next to that grave, you know, next to that, you know, outside, you know, next to that, where that pillar, that dome is, and they start making dua facing it. You know, that is wrong, in fact. That is haram, because if you want to make dua, you face the qibla. You don't face the grave. You know, that's where the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, right? So, because nobody can enter where the grave is. Nobody can enter it. There's so many pictures out there online saying, this is the grave of Rasulullah. No, in fact, I will tell you more about the grave of the Prophet. I will tell you more about the house of the Prophet Muhammad. You know, the last time that somebody has entered that house, we're talking about more than 500 years back, you know, in 684, you know, when the masjid caught fire, because the masjid Nabawi caught fire twice, you know, and the second time it caught fire, there was some harm happened to the walls of the masjid, so they had to rebuild the walls, and the walls are surrounding the graves of the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar. So nobody can see. There's like three walls, you know, around the grave of the Prophet Muhammad, which is his house, the house of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So nobody, you know, has seen the inside of the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first fire happened in 684 Hijriya, Today we are 1432, 1431 Hijriya. You know, so 654 Hijriya is where the first fire happened in the Masjid, and the second fire happened in 886 Hijriya. So much so that, you know, the minbar of the Prophet, the original minbar of the Prophet got burnt, so they had to build a new minbar that was actually shipped from Egypt. Aywa. The minbar was shipped from Egypt. And then they also renewed the Qubba, you know, in 892 Hijriya, and then they painted with green. This is, you know, before it was not green, they built it in green. So today, my brothers and sisters, the masjid can fit more than 1 million people, subhanAllah. They can pray there all together at the same time. There's like two levels, you know, the roof, and then, you know, and the main level, and then you have the of course the plaza outside. This is all what make the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers and sisters, the very first khutbah happened in Medina, the very first masjid, you know, after the masjid Quba happened in Medina, the very first war, you know, the war, you know, the battle of Badr happened in Medina, the very first mawlud, the very first newborn, his name is Abdullah ibn Zubair, the son of Zubair, born in Medina. All the orders, all the obligatory actions were revealed in Medina. Hijab was revealed in Medina. The prohibition of alcohol was revealed in Medina. The salawat, you know, dhuhr, asr, you know, dhuhr 4, asr 4, maghrib 3, isha 4, fajr 2. These numbers were revealed in Medina. This is called Madinatu al-Nabi. Brothers and sisters, do you know what would the Prophet do? The very first thing he will do, you know, after, you know, as he entered Medina, they were building the masjid, then the Prophet Muhammad السلام, will give a speech. But what are the first three things Prophet Muhammad will do? He will do three things. Now he moved, khalas. He is Madani. He was Makki. Now the Madani era. As he entered Medina, what would be the first thing he would do? After building the masjid, or initiating, you know, the building of the masjid, he will do three things. The first is building the masjid. We talked about it. First is building the masjid. Second and third, what are those? Three things. First is building the masjid. Secondly, he will do something amazing. Thirdly, something extraordinary. What are those things? Do you smell it? Do you smell it, brothers and sisters? Do you feel it? Do you feel something coming? You feel it, huh? You smelled it, right? Yeah, it is definitely a cliffhanger. We'll tell you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. What would the Prophet do? You know, what would the Prophet do, alayhi salatu wasalam? What would cause the battle of, or trigger the battle of Badr? What would trigger that battle, you know? Talking about that, inshallah ta'ala. We want to talk about the house of the Prophet. We want to go and visit the Prophet. We want to talk about Prophet, you know, what does he eat for breakfast? What time does he sleep? What time does he, you know, wake up? How does he, you know, what does he do during the day? You know, where does he go during the day? Where does he go during the night? I want really to go inside and live with the Prophet Muhammad as-salam and spend one day with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We would like to start talking about that, inshallah ta'ala. You know, and more and more and more. Thank you so much for joining, brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you all. Thank you, those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram. Thank you for joining. Please let others know about this program. Please share this program. It's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's on YouTube. Go to the YouTube, like it, and share it with others. I think there's a lot of, alhamdulillah, you know, this spirituality in it. There's, you know, some good vibe, there's some good information in it. learning more about Prophet Muhammad, and I promise you, it's going to get even more and more interesting, inshallah. So again, thank you so much for sharing and for joining. Thank you for being here. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you, Bai Zul Aziz. Thank you, Nawal. Thank you, Let's Pray. Thank you, Yashmin. You know, thank you, Jazakum Allah khair. Sufi Saeed, Monisa, all of you are here. And those of you who are as well on Facebook, thank you for joining. May Allah bless you. Tomorrow, same time, same place. Alrighty? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum, Facebook.